When we sing those words to that song, Jesus, what a powerful name it is. Jesus is the name that changes everything, because Jesus is the name that represents truth. For the past several weeks, we've been in a series just entitled Truth Wins. We've been talking about how we can overcome the struggles and the battles and the issues and the turmoils and the setbacks of life. Why are we talking about this? Because we all have them. Back on Easter Sunday, we kicked off this series essentially with a message that just says truth changes everything. And on that day, we asked for people to come and just lay prayer requests right here at the foot of the cross, and then we would take and place them. And each week, people have given more prayer requests. And as I look at them, that there's so many prayer requests that are there that are just life issues. How do I win in a relationship? How do I win in the battle that I'm having right now with my emotions? They seem like they're just getting the best of me. How do I win with the struggle that's not just on the inside, but is playing out in my life? When I look at some of these, there's the question, how do I go ahead and overcome the battles, not just with a marital problem, not just with an emotional problem, but how can I find financial freedom? You know, when we think about financial freedom, most of us tend to think about a budget. We tend to think about a plan. We tend to go ahead and think about something that could go ahead and make a difference for us right now by giving a little extra money and putting it in our pocket. Let me ask you something today. What would financial freedom look like right now in your life? Would it be that little bit extra to be able to go ahead and pay the bills? Or would financial freedom look like in your life just maybe that new car? Maybe it would be the move to a new and bigger and better home. Maybe financial freedom in your life would just be like, okay, I've got some kids that are heading to college, and financial freedom would go ahead and take care of that. You know, when we look at financial freedom, it goes ahead and maybe looks a little bit different in each and every one of our lives. I've got two little girls that are at home, and when they have a little bit of financial freedom, which that means for them, when they've borrowed money from us, or when they go ahead and ask to go to the concession stand, but they don't bring back all the change, you know, and you know that, and they've got a little bit extra that they're just holding on to. You know what financial freedom means for them? Sometimes it means that they can go ahead and do something for mom or dad that maybe we're not expecting. And a couple of months ago, Gabby was six at the time, and she came home from being out with her Aunt Janet, and she had a little bit of financial freedom on that day. And she came in and she had it in a bag, and she said, "Daddy, I have bought you something with my own money." And she said, "Daddy, you are going to love it." She said, "Daddy, I want you to open it." And then she brought mommy around, and then she brought Maddie around, and we all sat there, and I opened up the little bag, and she said, "Daddy, I hope you like it. I bought it with my own money, and it's really special." She said, "Daddy, it's a tie, and you wear them sometimes." She said, "When are you going to wear it?" I said, "Gabby, it's a beautiful tie. Would have fit a little bit better when I was six." You know, that moment when she saw a tie, and whether it's a clip-on, and whether it would be way too short and just accent my belly or whatever it might be. All right, she didn't get that. She had a moment of financial freedom, and she thought, "You know what, I want to do something to just kind of surprise my dad." Well, you know, when we look at our life, sometimes financial freedom might look a little bit different for you than it does for me. And sometimes we're tempted to think financial freedom is going to be found in that moment where we have the budget breakthrough and we've got a little bit extra. But can I tell you something? I believe that the Bible teaches us financial freedom isn't about an amount. It's not about a budget. It's not even entirely about a plan. The budget and the plan, they can help bring some financial freedom. But there's one thing that I want you to remember today, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're planning for retirement or whether you're in retirement. It doesn't matter whether you're just starting out and you're single and you're in college and you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay for those things. Financial freedom is discovered in one word, and it's perspective. You see, I read a statement this week from Susie Orman, a financial expert, and here's what she said. The three most common associated things and emotions with money are this: fear, shame. Get that? Three most common associated emotions with money. First one is fear. People are afraid of money. Why? Why? Because we don't have a proper perspective. Then she moved on and she said, look, there's some shame associated with it. Maybe because we've had some financial struggles. And then she said this: anger. Maybe we get angry because we don't have enough. The three most common emotions surrounding finances, three most common emotions surrounding the word money: fear, anger. Just kind of amazing that people are that afraid. Kind of amazing that it goes ahead and stirs up that anger. Maybe even more amazing, the shame that comes along with that. Why? Because maybe it's not what we expected. Maybe we feel like it's not what other people expected of us. Well, as we've been talking about how we can go ahead and win in life, today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture from Jesus, John chapter 8, some words that Jesus gave his followers. It's where we've kicked off every week, and we're going to discover what Jesus had to say in this passage of Scripture. And then we're going to jump to something else that Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 6. But let's go ahead and just discover how we can go ahead and overcome our desire for financial freedom. Because when we stop and look, every one of us has been there at some point in time where there's been a little bit of fear about a money situation. Maybe we've had a little shame about a money situation. Maybe we've had a little bit of anger about a money situation. Maybe when we go ahead and realize we're down to our last penny, maybe a little bit of fear or panic or depression or anxiety or even anger sets in, and we would like to move beyond that today. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this perspective. In John chapter 8 and verse number 31, here's what the Bible says. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Jesus is talking about what it means to follow him and what a relationship with him is really like. And Jesus said, the key to going ahead and following me, the key to going ahead and having a life that is really fulfilling, a life that lasts, so a life that makes an impact and makes a difference, starts with continuing in the word of Jesus, continuing in the example of Jesus. It just kind of starts with knowing who he is, but it continues as we truly begin to follow him. You see, one of the struggles in my life and one of the struggles in your life is this. We have a tendency to say, okay, I know my life is not perfect. I know I need Jesus to go ahead and forgive me of my sins because I've messed up and I'm not what I know I need to be. There's something on the inside that tells us that our life is not perfect. There's something on the inside that tells us we're guilty. We carry those things around with us. And then when we hear when Jesus died for our sin and that he went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be set free from that penalty, something clicks on the inside, and many times people say, man, I want that forgiveness. I want that freedom. And we begin to follow Jesus from that standpoint, but then we jump off that track and we go to something else. Well, Jesus says, look, the key to winning in life is not just knowing me. The key to winning in life is abiding in me. It is continuing in me. It is following my plan, not just for some of the areas of your life, but for every area. Here's what Jesus said. He said, when you go ahead and abide in my word, when you listen to my word, when you follow my example, when you get to know my word, he says, you're my disciples indeed. And then he says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if we want some financial freedom today, if we want to go ahead and overcome the financial struggles of life, we need the truth. Because Jesus is the one that said the truth is what would make us free. Well, where can we go and find some truth about what brings us financial freedom? Where can we go to give us some truth and stability so that we can overcome some of the financial setbacks in life? We need to go ahead and find the words of Jesus. We need to look to the Bible and find where Jesus gives us a little bit more of that. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is in the midst of giving his first public sermon, really. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking and he's sharing it, and he gives some incredible things in that passage of Scripture. And they were so incredible that people sat there, right? I mean, they sat there, and this is every pastor's dream, okay? People are sitting there, they're kind of sitting on the edge of their seats, leaning forward the entire time, and when Jesus goes ahead and he just says, that's all, that's it, everybody stands up, they linger around, and they say, wow, that was awesome. We've never heard it like that before. This guy was different than anything we've ever heard. He spoke truth in a different way, because that's what happens at the end of Matthew chapter 7 leading into Matthew chapter 8. Jesus has just delivered a message about perspective, a message about how we could follow him. And when people get up and leave, they say, we've never heard anything like that before. This guy was different. One of the reasons it was different is because he was speaking truth. Well, what did Jesus go ahead and give us in Matthew chapter 6 that'll help us with winning and having a financial breakthrough? Well, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. And let's just go ahead and read some passages of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, here's what Jesus begins to go ahead and teach us. He begins to give us a perspective about our finances. He never mentions an amount. He never goes ahead and gives anything, but really a perspective. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus says, wow, you're going to be able to connect your heart to what's important to you. That's all about perspective. It's all about how we see things. It's all about how we value things. Then he tells us in verse number 22, he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. He says, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus says what gets our attention, what we go ahead and set our eye upon, is either going to go ahead and give us wisdom or it's going to keep us from wisdom. Verse number 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Then he says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Then he continues. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I love how the passage of Scripture points out our value. In the midst of questioning what we value, in the midst of what we tend to go ahead and give our attention to, there's this question, how much more valuable are you than they? It's the obvious choice that we are valuable. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, its own things. The things that you have to take care of tomorrow is sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Well, Jesus goes ahead and gives us a perspective in that passage of Scripture. And here's one of the things that he tells us as he just kind of goes right down through there. You see, sometimes we hear things that aren't true. You see, sometimes people go ahead and say, you know, I just want you to know that money is the root of all evil, and that's not true. That the Bible doesn't teach that in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the Bible teaches us that your money, whatever you have in your pocket right now, whatever you have in your bank account, whatever is in your financial portfolio, all of those things are neutral. It's what you do with them that goes ahead and allows it to have an impact, and it's what direction you go ahead and take it rather than you letting it take you somewhere. Jesus is talking about perspective. So here's the thing that we've got to realize. If we're going to go ahead and have financial freedom in our life, if you want an amount this morning and you want a budget plan, I hate to disappoint you, but that's not what we're talking about. The first thing that we need to understand that Jesus goes ahead and gives us is this: you were made for more than money. If you just want to follow along and write something down, can I just tell you, I would encourage you to write that down. You were made for more than money. You say, how do you know this? Not only does Jesus tell us that, but can I tell you something? The great philosopher, you may know him from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You may know him from Men in Black. You may know him from another movie, but even Will Smith gets it. He says this. He says, too many people spend money they have not earned to buy things they do not want, to impress people they do not like. Think about that. We go ahead and we jump on the train and we go after the things of this world and the things of this life. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, let's go ahead and unpack it and put it in perspective. Here's the reality. He says, you were made for more than money. You were made for more than possessions. You were made for more than the material. And we live in a day and time, which is very common to the day and time in which Jesus was living, because Jesus was telling the people there on that hillside, look, you're made for more than possessions. You're made for more than the material. Yet there's this desire within us for more. How do we go ahead and address that? How do we begin to unpack that and learn from it? Here's what Solomon tells us. When Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, look, you go ahead and you look at the outdoors and you look at the things that are there and all the things that are provided and all the things that are taken care of. He says, Solomon in all of his glory and all of his wisdom is not arrayed like one of these. But what did Solomon go ahead and say? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 10, here's what Solomon has to say about perspective. He says, he that loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Solomon says, he that loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Why? Because you and I were not made for silver. You were not wired for silver to go ahead and be satisfied. I want to tell you something. Today, I've got a little bit of money in my pocket. I've got $15. I had more, but the treasurer found out and swiped it. Now my wife just saw that. I'll be losing it. You know what? No matter how much I have there or I don't have, according to what Solomon says it's not going to satisfy. It's not going to go ahead and make the difference. He doesn't say that it's evil. He doesn't say that it's wrong to have it. In fact, some people go ahead and have the idea that Jesus is speaking against treasure in this passage of Scripture, but he's not. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. Jesus said, don't live a life where the only treasure you have is temporary, because temporary treasure does not last. Jesus begins to go ahead and say, look, we need to change our perspective. And if we want to go ahead and have a lasting financial freedom, okay, because a financial breakthrough is not going ahead and getting a second job and finally being able to pay the mortgage until you quit that second job. That's not financial freedom. You're going and you're working and you're doing extra to go ahead and get by. And then when something breaks and something changes, you have to go ahead and do something else. We begin to go ahead and have financial freedom when we begin to go ahead and change our perspective about what treasure really is and about what we are made for and who we are made for. And Jesus comes right out on that hillside and he says, look, I want you to understand, you were not made for money. You were not made for the material. You were not made for the possessions of this earth. Adrian Rogers said it this way: you'll see how rich you are when you add up everything you have that money can't buy and death can't take away. You'll see how rich you are when you add up everything you have that money can't buy and death can't take away. I think about a story that comes from Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we see a story of one who has nothing, a beggar. We see the story of one who has everything, the rich man. And in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." That means he ate well, he had everything he wanted. "There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was as the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." He was buried. It says, "And being in torments in Hades," or being in torments in hell, "he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all of this, there's a great gulf between us, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" Now, there's a lot of serious applications in that passage of Scripture, but one we come back to that's real basic, and it's this. Our earthly possessions do not go ahead and get us into heaven. That doesn't happen. But it also tells us that our earthly possessions are temporary at best. It tells us that we were not made for money. We were made for far more than money, because the rich man had everything that he could want in this life. But when it was added all up, death took it all away and he was left with absolutely nothing. Why? Because you and I are made for more than money. Jim Elliot, missionary to the Alka Indians, who lost his life at a very early age, he said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep for what he cannot lose." What does that mean? Understanding that what we have in this life might be temporary, but we can go ahead and live this life with an eternal perspective, which brings us to the next thing that Jesus had to say, the next thing that Jesus teaches us. Perspective number one is you were made for more than money. Perspective number two is this: you were made for more than the moment. You see, right now we're taught, in order to go ahead and have financial freedom, the secret is to go ahead and make all you can in any way that you can, just as long as it's honest. And how many people are missing out in life, and they're missing more than the moment? They're missing their family, they're missing their children, they're missing a relationship with God, because there's a drive to go ahead and get more and more and more and more. Do you know what happened the first time? The first time that man lived for the moment, do you know what happened? The world was changed. You see, the first time that man began to live for the moment, began to go ahead and live for the temporary, began to go ahead and say, "I want more, I'm not satisfied, I'm going to go after something else." You know what happened? It's recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Eve is there, and Satan, the serpent of the field, he's there, and he begins to go ahead and have a conversation with Eve, and he begins to go ahead and tempt her, and he begins to go ahead and question God, and he even gets Eve to question God, and here's what he says: "Aren't you allowed to go ahead and eat of all of these?" And Eve says, "Well, yeah, we're allowed to eat whatever we want, but there's one we're not supposed to go ahead and eat from." And he said, "Why is that? You ever wonder why he wants to go ahead and keep that from you? Because he knows if you go ahead and take that fruit and eat of that tree, then you're going to be better than he is, or you're going to be like he is, and he wants to go ahead and keep something from you. And you know what? They lived in the moment for wanting more, and what happened? Sin entered the world. Eve took the apple, she gave it to Adam, they ate it together, and everything was changed. And from that time, there's been the temptation for us to go ahead and live for the moment. Can I tell you something? The moment comes and goes. Yesterday, I stood at a ball diamond, and I watched my little girl, my youngest, and she's 7 years old, and she's learning how to put it all together. But I'm going to tell you something. After her second bat was over, I said, wow, I'm glad that moment's done. Then one of my friends was there and came over, Kenny, and he said, hey, he said, she hits like you did. Then he said, I'm just kidding, and he probably really wasn't. But, you know, the reality is this. That moment was over. Good, bad, indifferent, over. Do you know what happened? When Adam and Eve went for that first moment, what they thought would go ahead and give them more, you know what happened? Is they needed more, and they needed more, and they needed more. Here's what Jesus goes ahead and tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He says, don't make your life all about earth, because here's what's going to happen. The moment is going to come. It's going to pass. It can be taken from you. It will go ahead and be destroyed. It will fall by the wayside. At some point in time, those things that you are living for will not bring what you thought it would bring. If I asked for a show of hands around this room this morning, everyone would be honest where there was a moment in your life where you thought it would go ahead and turn out different than what it did, and that moment was not what you expected, and that moment left you wanting something different. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, here's the deal. You weren't made for money. You were made for more than money. You weren't made for the moment. You were made and designed with an eternal perspective in mind. You were made for something more. You see, if we want to have financial freedom, we've got to learn a perspective. We've got to learn that we weren't made for the temporary. We weren't made for the moment. We've got to learn that we were made for the master. And here's what Jesus goes ahead and tells us. He says, I want you to lay up treasures in heaven where it's protected and moth nor rust destroys and where thieves cannot break through and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One of the reasons Jesus wants us to go ahead and lay up treasure in heaven is to protect us and keep us from a broken heart here in this earth. If we go ahead and make sure our treasure is in heaven, what we value is in heaven, here's what happens. We begin to go ahead and have a heart for heaven, and this life becomes much better, much greater. You see, you were made for your master. So what does Jesus tell us? Jesus tells us, first and foremost, to treasure eternity. That's what he tells us. He's all about treasure. He's all about real and right treasure. He's all about going ahead and giving our life for something that's greater than we are and something that's going to outlive us. He says to go ahead and invest in eternity. That means invest in what's going to last, and invest in your relationship with God. Invest in your relationship with others. Invest in getting people to know about Jesus. Make heaven your focal point. You want to go ahead and begin to go ahead and experience financial freedom? Begin to go ahead and have that perspective where we were made for our master. Verse number 21, he tells us to have treasure, to go ahead and place our treasure in heaven. But as we move down, he tells us in verse number 22, he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. He says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body is going to be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He says, look, if all you can see is light and you've got your eyes on Jesus, everything is going to be great, and you're going to have wisdom as to how to have a life that has some financial freedom, as to how to have a life that has some financial balance. is how you can go ahead and begin to have a life that helps you overcome some of the financial struggles. He says, but if we don't consider Jesus and the day-to-day things of life, we're going to miss it when it comes to the possessions and the material things of life. So Jesus says, look, keep your heart in heaven, treasure eternity, but then we go ahead and keep our eyes on him. Why? Because what we look at and what we give our life to, what gets our mind's attention is going to go ahead and get our heart's affection. So Jesus said, keep your eyes on him. Then he says this, go ahead and trust God. Realize that you were made for your master. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is not telling us it's wrong to have money. He doesn't say it's wrong to be financially blessed. He's not saying it's wrong to be a hard worker. No, Jesus is not saying that at all. Jesus is saying what we have to decide is we have to decide what kind of perspective we're going to live by and what we're going to live for. And Jesus said, look, would you just go ahead and let me be your master? Would you let the Father be your master? If you're going to go ahead and live your life for something, live your life for something that's going to last. Live your life for something that's going to matter. Keep your eyes on me. Why? Because there's always going to be something that's calling your attention that says, come and give your life to me. And many of us have fallen for that because we've thought, you know what? I can work a few hours overtime. I can go ahead and I can make this deal. I can make that work over there. I'll get a little bit more and life will be better. And the reality is this. We've given in and some of those things have become our master and we've lived for the moment and we've lived for money or the possession. And guess what? We find ourselves right back at square one, or often we find ourselves long before square one, and life is not what we thought it was going to be. Why? Because we've looked at the wrong master. Jesus goes ahead and says, make me your master. Then he says, trust me. He lists all of these things right down through here. He says, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful for clothing. I just am. All right? I see enough of what I don't see in the world that we live in. You walk through stores and you're like, wow, you left the house. Where's the rest of it? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, don't go ahead and make your life all about all the things that are temporary. Don't make your life all about the perspective where you've got to worry about all of these different things. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, I want you to realize you were made for more than money. I want you to realize that you were made for more than the moment. You were made for me, so please just go ahead and treasure eternity and trust me to take care of you. What was he saying? He was saying, just do things my way. Don't let the need for clothing and shelter and food become the driving force to your life. Trust me. When we treasure eternity, when we trust God, Jesus is going to take care of the other things. Do you know what Jesus was saying? We honor God. We honor God. Some of you are here this morning and you're saying, John, I need a plan. If you're here this morning and you need a plan, God has one. It's real simple. The first thing is we honor him. Okay? We give. Proverbs 3:9 tells us to honor God with the first fruits. Go ahead and put him first. Honor him. Then Solomon tells us this, that we ought to go ahead and save. Why? Because there's going to be a rainy day. We go ahead and we give first, we save second, and then we learn to live on the rest. That's God's financial plan, right? We go ahead and we look from Genesis chapter 1 to the end of it. He never departs from that. Give, save, spend. But what keeps us from giving, what keeps us from saving, what keeps us from spending the rest is our perspective. Our perspective. We think we were made for money, so we got to go ahead and have more of it. It becomes the guiding force of our life rather than God. We think we were made for the moment, so we've got to get in on the next big thing, and that moment doesn't go ahead and turn out. And then when we look and discover we're really made for the master, we can begin to go ahead and trust God and begin to follow his plan. You want some financial freedom? You got some financial struggles in your life that you need help overcoming? Can I just challenge you today to go ahead and say, okay, God, here it is. You said that you were truth, and you said if I follow you, I can find freedom in you. So here's what I want to do. I want to overcome that. Today, I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust you that I was made for more than money. I'm going to believe and trust you that I was made for more than the moment. I'm going to begin to live my life looking to you and looking for you, not about the moment, not about the material, but I'm going to do what I can to honor you with my life right now with what I have, and I'm going to trust you to take care of the rest, because that financial freedom will start when you begin to take on a perspective that you weren't made for it was made for you, that you were made for more than the moment, you were made for eternity. So we began to go ahead and realize that being made for eternity means I'm made for the Master, and the Master has a plan for my life and your life, and the first part of that plan is to give your life to him. And the second part of that plan is to keep following him in every area of your life. Trust God. Let him be your perspective. Let him be your guide. And as you honor him, he will honor you. Would you pray with me? In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation hymn. Today, we talk about truth being found in Jesus. The reality is this: Jesus is truth. And because Jesus is truth, Jesus is perfect. Jesus gave his life on the cross so that you and I might know truth, so that our search could come to an end. Because no matter who we are, we have that desire for more. We have that desire to search and find the answer. And today, maybe your life would be a little empty. Maybe you would say, look, I'm hurting. I need help. I need hope. Today, maybe you would begin to find that in a relationship with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, but you would like to know Jesus, in just a moment when we begin to sing, I would invite you to come and make your way to the front. We'll have someone that knows where to find some things in the Bible that can help you, can show you how Jesus wants to be your Savior. Maybe you're here today, you would say, John, I know Jesus as my Savior. Quite honestly, I could use a little bit of financial freedom in my life. Maybe today you would say, I'm ready for a new perspective. Maybe today you would just come and pray and say, Lord, help me to realize I was made for more than money. Help me to realize I was made for more than the moment. Help me to realize that I'm made for you. Help me to live my life that way. Maybe today you would come and pray. Maybe today you've got a prayer request that you want to write down. You want to place it at the foot of the cross and say, God, help me with that. Whatever your need might be, just respond to the Lord. Would you stand with me as we sing? God speaks to your heart. Just step out and come.